Okay, tonight is Monday night, November 17th. November 16th. Rosh Chodesh Kislev. This is the Gemara Shir Sukkah, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis.
Okay, Rabotai. Tonight we're going to see a most interesting sugya that has principles are applied all over Shas. We're in the middle of the page, a little below the middle. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mima'atin B'Yom Tov. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mima'atin B'Yom Tov. The Mishnah had stated that if you have a hadas whose berries outnumber the leaves, the hadas is possible. One is not permitted to reduce the berries on Yom Tov. So now the Gemara is going to quote a debate between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, who said whether or not you're allowed to do so or not. Tana Rabban, Ein Mima'atin B'Yom Tov. Tanakhama say you are not permitted to reduce the number of berries on Yom Tov. Mishum Reb Elazar B'Reb Shimon, in the name of Reb Elazar B'Reb Shimon, Amru Mima'atin. You are permitted to go ahead and reduce the number of berries. Asks the Gemara, V'hokom esake mana, how could you possibly reduce the berries? You are misakein mana. Mana is a utensil. Mitakein means to repair. You are taking something which is not acceptable, unusable, and you're rendering it usable by cutting off the berries. You are now making it a kosher hadas. That violates the isur of maka bepatish midrabanan. Maka bepatish is a malacha with very loose definitions, no well-defined ma'aseh avera, where any activity which you do, which renders something fit for use, you now violate the isur of maka bepatish. So you can violate maka bepatish in conjunction with something else. For example, you're building a table, and the table only has three legs, so it can't stand. You put the fourth leg on, that's bona, you're building. But in addition, by putting the fourth leg on, you are now making it suitable for use, so you violate the lav of the isur of maka bepatish. It's one of the 39 malachas. In our case, it's only midrabanan, because a halachic tikkun, not a physical tikkun, is not considered maka bepatish midoraisa. It's only mitakin kli midirabanan. So the Gemara asks, how can Rabbi Elazar B'Reb Shimon say that you're allowed to reduce the berries? After all, it's misakin mana. It's misakin mana. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, kigon shelokton la'achila. The purpose of reducing the berries was not to make it a kosher hadas. The purpose of reducing the berries was, you want to eat them. They were good berries. And you want to eat them. V'Rav Elazar B'Reb Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, agrees with Papa, with his father, Rabbi Shimon. De Omar, davar she'eno miskaven mutter. And when it comes to Hilchot Shabbat, if you engage in an activity, but don't intend to do the malacha, it just happens under those circumstances, that type of an activity is permissible. Where you do essentially a permissible item, and the activity might take place, the malacha rather, might take place, the malacha might not take place, under those circumstances, that's called davar she'eino mitkaven. Rabbi Shimon says the davar she'eino mitkaven is mutar lechatchila. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that by Hilchos Shabbos it's Pater Rabbal Asar. It's Pater Midoraisa, but Asar Midorabanan. So here, Rabbi Elazar holds like his father, that I did not intend to repair the hadas. Because what was my intention? My intention was to eat the berries. Well, that's why I plucked them. So as a result, the intention to be repairing, to do the Chilul Shabbos, was not there. And if you engage in an activity, davar she'eino mitkavein, that is 100% permissible on Shabbos. So I'll give you 400 illustrations how we apply the rule of davar she'eino mitkavein on Shabbos. Right? You open up your refrigerator. Now, when you open up the refrigerator, that might trigger the compressor when the temperature rises at night. But it might not. So your intention is to get out the bottled juice. Your intention is not to trigger the compressor. Therefore, that's a davar she'eino mitkavein, and you are permitted to what? To open up the refrigerator. The illustration which the Gemara uses all the time is gorer adam mita kisei v'safso. You have lunch on Shabbos in your backyard. You're missing some chairs, so you want to take some chairs from your dining room into the backyard, and you're a little lazy. You don't want to pick up the chair, so you want to drag it along the ground. So when you drag the chair along the ground, it might dig a little furrow, might dig a little hole, which is the malach of chayresh, plowing, and you might not, since your intention is only to bring the chair from point A to point B, and not to dig a hole, it's considered permissible. Asks the Gemara, v'ho Abaye v'Rava d'Amri Tavayu, Abaye and Rava both agree, which is startling, because Abaye and Rava normally are at odds with each other all the time. And yet, here, Abaye and Rava both say, Mode Rabbi Shimon bipsik reshe v'lo yamus. Mode Rabbi Shimon bipsik reshe v'lo yamus. I will translate the words literally in a second. What it means is, the only time that Rabbi Shimon allows you to engage in an activity when you don't intend to do the malacha is if there is a chance the malacha will take place and a chance the malacha will not take place. That's why I illustrated the two cases. When you open up the refrigerator, sometimes why the compressor goes on, sometimes the compressor does not go on. But let's assume, ladies and gentlemen, you had your light on in the refrigerator. Okay? You forgot to shut the light. Now, when you open up the door, what? It's not maybe the light is going to go on. Definitely the light's going to go on. So, Rabbi and Rava say that where the malacha is guaranteed to happen, guaranteed, even Rabbi Shimon, who says that davar she'eino mitkavein is mutter, in this case he holds, it's not only asur, you're chayav. It's asur mid'oraisa. Why? Because you can't claim you didn't intend to turn on the light. Because if you do claim, you're an airhead. Why? You should know the light's going on when you open up the refrigerator door. So don't tell me you didn't intend to turn on the light. You did intend to turn on the light. Therefore, in this case, where even though you ate the berries, for what reason? For what purpose? For eating, but the minute you reduce the berries, and now you have more leaves than a berry, automatically what happened to this hadas? What happened to this hadas? It automatically became a kosher hadas, whether you intended to do so or not. So therefore the Gemara asks, how is it possible that Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Shimon allowed you to reduce the berries, even if he agrees with his father? The davar she'eino mitkavein is asur. It only applies when there is a possibility that the malacha will take place and a possibility that the malacha will not take place. But if there is a guarantee that the malacha will take place, under those circumstances, it happens to be 100% asur. So why did Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon allow you to reduce the berries? Answer to Gemara. Hacha b'mayaskinan, the itzle Hoshana Achrite. He has another Hadas. He doesn't need this Hadas. He does not need this Hadas. He's got another one. So therefore, what happened when he was machshir this Hadas? He ate the berries off this other Hadas. He didn't need it for the mitzvah of Arba Aminim because he has three kosher Hadasim. So what happens now? That's going to be a machloikis Rashi and Tosfos. And the Aruch. We'll start with Rashi. He has another Hadas. Take a look at Rashi. The Lotzricha de Isle Hoshana Achrita. Does everybody have the Rashi? It's the third wide line of the Rashis. Third wide line of the Rashis. The caption reads, Lotzricha de Isle Hoshana Achrita. The case is talking about that he has another Hoshana, he does not need this Hadas. Velotzorich Lehai. And he does not need this particular Hadas. Hilkoch, therefore, Ein Kan Tikun Kli. There is no melacha taking place whatsoever. Ein Kan Tikun Kli. There is no melacha taking place. Delo Tzricha Lo LaAchshura. You don't have to repair this Hadas. Why don't you have to repair it? Because I have another one. So therefore, no melacha has taken place. No melacha has taken place. That's what Rashi says. I'll read the rest of Rashi a little later. No melacha has taken place. So now I'm going to ask Rashi. I'm going to fabricate another case. Okay?
Before you go further, Rabbi.
But he wasn't doing this with the intention of making it kosher.
So. Correct. Because he had another one. So he was intending to do what?
Eat it.
Now as soon as he ate berry number 3, what happened to the number? It was reduced. Now the Hadas automatically became kosher. Says Rashi, nonetheless, it's not called Mesakin Kli. It's not called Mesakin Kli. That's what Rashi says.
According to Rashi, he's going to use the other one.
Okay. But if he winds up, even if he winds up using this one, it's still okay. It's not Mesakin any longer. Because he has another one. Yes, we're talking about lechatchila. Rabbi Lazar says mimarati. Why is he allowed to? Because he has another hashan. That's correct. The Gemara often does that in order to get itself out of a pickle. It says, "Oh, the case is a limited taki case." That Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon is talking about a case. He already had another hadas. Why would a guy start cut up the... Yeah. You're right. It doesn't appear that that's what the Brisa is really saying. I grant you that. But I want to just crystallize Rashi. Crystallize. Here is going to be a case. Okay? I am going to go ahead and engage in another psik reshe. Here is the case. And I'm going to do the same thing. I have a bottle of Coke on my table. Have a bottle of my Coke. An ice cold Coke. Or for those of you who drink beer, a Coors Light. Right? Which has the cold signal. Right? That's a signal. Yeah. What?
The blue.
The blue. Lets you know when it's exactly ready to be drunk. It's on my table. It's on my picture table. So, now there's another one in my refrigerator, and the light's on. Okay? I know the light's on. I'm not intending to turn on the light. I want to open up the refrigerator and get out a bottle of beer. So you mean to tell me, Rashi's going to say, that since I don't really need the second bottle of beer, opening up the refrigerator is not the malacha of Mavir. Let's assume turning on a light is a rock kindling a fire. It's not a malacha forever, because I don't need it. Is that what Rashi's trying to tell me? Since when is a malacha not a malacha? Because you're not interested in it? Since when is a malacha not a malacha when you're not interested in it? So the Rav explained Rashi in the following fashion. Very simple, said the Rav. If, let's talk about tikkun, okay? Let's talk about misake, okay? Here is the case. I have one of the illustrations of misake is you bring a shirt out of the cleaners and the tag is sticking out right over here. The tag from the cleaners. You know how to rip off the tag on Shabbos. Why can't you rip off the tag? Because it's making the shirt usable. You would not wear a shirt with a tag sticking out on it. So ripping the tag, despite the fact that it's only ripping, and that's asur only mit rabbanan, this is asur midoraisa. So now I'm going to ask you, if I had two white shirts in my closet, I could wear the other one. So I decide I have another one that I can wear. But on Shabbos, I'm going to go ahead and rip the tag off this one. Well, you need to tell me that's not the malacha of misakein based on the fact that what? That I have another one in the closet, therefore this is not misakein? I repaired this shirt. How in the world can Rashi say that? Answer. Whenever the misakein is based on what? The chetza, the article. If the article is what is responsible, is the article repaired, then what you need or don't need is immaterial. It's immaterial. A shirt is a shirt. So the shirt is now being repaired for use by your ripping off the tag. Whether or not you're planning on wearing that shirt is immaterial. Makes no difference. Because even though you have another shirt. Because what you did changed this shirt. Before you could not wear it, now it's a shirt that can be worn. This is a piece of wood. In what respect is this misakein mana? In what respect is this misakein mana? Are you really repairing a piece of wood? By pulling off the hadas, by pulling off the branch?
Or you're making it
beautiful. Ah, that's for you, for the gavra. The article is not really being repaired. It's your use of this shtickle piece of wood for a mitzvah. So the tikkun lies that it's now feasible for a mitzvah. Nobody ever would say that this piece of wood is now it was in a state of disrepair before, and now it's in a state of repair. It's fine. It's available for your mitzvah. You need it. It's not, in and of itself, what you did is worthless. Worthless. If it not be the yotiv of Sukkot, under those circumstances, pulling off a berry would be halachically insignificant. Nobody would think it's anything. Therefore, in this case only, where the gavra has another hadas, as a result, in this particular type of case, claims Rashi, it's not called meleches tikkun whatsoever. And therefore, is mutter lechatchila. Mutter lechatchila. Why are you allowed to do so in this case? Because you violate absolutely nothing according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shemin. Absolutely nothing. If you violate absolutely nothing, why can't you do it? That's what Rashi says. That in this case, ein kan tikkun kli. I'm reading the Rashi again. Ein kan tikkun kli. Delo tzwi chalei la'achshuva. However, when you're dealing with another case, when you're dealing with the regular case of psik reshe, what's the regular case of psik reshe? What's the regular case of psik reshe? Where you enjoy the benefit, even though you didn't intend for it. You didn't intend for it. Let's assume the light, right? I don't have a bottle of beer out on my kitchen table. I want to open up the light. I want to open up the refrigerator. So there, I obviously want it, I need it, that's 100% awesome. But in this case, since I have another hadas available, the activity which I'm doing is not called a maisa iser. It's not tikkun kli according to Rashi.
What about the shirts?
The shirts would be 100% aser. Even though you have another shirt. Why? Because you are being misakein a beged by ripping off the tag. You are being misakein a beged, even though you have another beged to wear. Intrinsically, you are misakein the beged. And Rabbi Shimon acknowledges that when you do a melacha, which is guaranteed to happen under those circumstances, it's asur, whether you plan on taking advantage of it or not.
If you don't have another hadas, why is it therefore become, according to Rashi, according to Sikh Rashi, if you don't have another one?
Because then I need it. Then I'm doing it for the purpose of tikkun. That's why I ate the berry. You're telling me I ate it because I was eating? But you can't deny that the personal benefit of making it a kosher hadas is there. It's going to happen. You have to be aware of it. You have to be aware. Yes.
Isn't there an inherent problem if we have an extra hadas? Because on Yom Tov, you can't make the switch. You can't take one off.
Why not?
You're bundling it, making the kesher.
So let's tell it like we passed it. Lulav ain tzorach agad. We passed it, you don't have to put it together. That's the way we passed it. That's all. Now, just for those who never heard this phrase, psik reishe velo yamos, it's a crazy kind of case. You have a little kid in the house, he doesn't stop screaming all day. He only gets entertained when he sees you chopping the heads of chickens off. That keeps him quiet. Okay? So that's the way it is. So this kid, it's 2 in the morning on a Friday night, and he's screaming away. So, are you allowed to slaughter a chicken on Shabbos? Of course not. Shoichet is one of the third. It's Asa Midoraisa. So now, the Gemara says, Pasik Reshe, you're going to chop the chicken's head off. Velo Yamur? And he's not going to die. What is the father claiming? I didn't intend to kill the chicken. I just wanted him to entertain my kid. I didn't want to kill the chicken. That's absurd. Because you know that when you chop the chicken's head off, what's going to happen to the chicken? He's going to die. So therefore, that type of case where you do something and claim I didn't intend to do the malacha, if the malacha is guaranteed, that's known in the Gemara as psik reshe. It's really a question. Psik reshe velo yamos. You mean to tell me you can knock the chicken's head off and it's not going to die? Of course it's going to die. So too, when you open up the refrigerator door, you know for a fact that the light's going on. When you take off the tag, you know for a fact the garment happens to be 100% okay. That's Rashi's case. In which case, we can go back now and ask Rabbi Lazar, do you necessarily have to agree with your father? Do you necessarily have to agree with your father, Rabbi Shimon, who said that Dov Hashem Estavid is mother? Do you have to agree with him, according to Rashi? Absolutely not. Why don't I have to? I could really hold like my friend Rabbi Yehuda, not like my father Rabbi Shimon, that Dov Hashem Estavid is asur. But in this case, it's 100% mother. Why? Because I did no malacha. There was no malacha tikkun done. So if there was no malacha, I don't have to predicate and base my head there based on Rabbi Shimon, who says, Dov Shein HaMeskaven is Mutter. So in the Hava Amina, the Gemara thinks that the only way for Rabbi Lazar to allow you to cut off the berries is to adopt his father's position of Dov Shein HaMeskaven. Because Dov Shein HaMeskaven recognizes the potential that what will have taken place, quite possibly, a malacha. But once we come to the conclusion that cutting off berries, if you have another hadas, is not at all malacha tikkun, then Rabbi Lazar doesn't have to agree with Rabbi Shimon altogether. He can say, Pop, I disagree with you. That's Rashi's opinion. The Balei HaTosfos take a completely different stand. They disagree with Rashi fundamentally. And Tosfos claims that this distinction between the Gavra and the Chetza, a lot of people was making with the Nuiz, Machmit the Nuiz, that you didn't like it, and Tosfos agrees with you. That this distinction between a garment and a Hadas is superficial. Names. That in the same way that if I have two shirts, one is ready to wear, the other one that has the Chinese laundry ticket on it. So if, even though I have another shirt to wear, if I take off that ticket, that will be called misaking the kli. I have made this shirt usable. By the same token, if I cut off the berries, even though I have another hadas, that will have been misaking the hadas. So that can't be the root as to why he allowed it. However, Tosfos introduces something else. And that'll lead me to the famous Aruch, which is the third opinion. Tosfos claims that what's happened in this case is what's called Psik Reshe Delo Nichole, where you know it's going to happen, but I couldn't care less that it does happen. Again, the case. I intended to do something else, but guaranteed that the malacha will take place, but I have no interest in it. I have no need for it. That's called a psik reshe delo nichale. That I don't care about, or I'm displeased, or I don't care about it. Earnest.
How's that different than davishen and miskaven?
Davishen and miskaven is where the malacha may not take place. This is a case where it's definitely going to take place. Definitely going to take place. But I don't need the results of that malacha. Okay? I don't need the results. I'll give you 50 illustrations. Right? You're walking home from shul Friday night, you walk by somebody's house, and the electric eye turns the light on. Happening more and more. And according to some Paiskin, today you're never going to be able to go out of your house on Shabbos. All you need is a lot of people do this, you'll be stuck in your house. I know there's one guy in Teaneck who doesn't come to shul Friday night, doesn't come to shul at all. Because in order to get out of his house, he has to pass three houses, and no matter how far he walks, that thing, that electric eye, catches him. So he stays home the whole Shabbos. I told him 50 times, you don't have to stay home. But what's happening there? When you walk by, you know that the electronic eye is going to trigger. You know it. I didn't intend to trigger the light, but it's going to happen. I couldn't care less. I don't need the light. He needs the light. Because if there's a robber, he wants to catch him or something. Or when he's walking into his house, he doesn't want to trip over something. I'm walking the street, I don't need his light. That's loy nichalay. So Tosfos introduces something else. Tosfos claims that every sik resha de lo nichalay also touches upon another halacha of Hilchos Shabbos called the malacha shein etzricha legufa. That's Tosfos' opinion. What is Malacha Shein Etzricha Lagufa? Malacha Shein Etzricha is another concept of Hilchos Shabbos, which states as follows. In order to be Chayav on Shabbos, you have to do the Malacha for the normal desired purpose of that Malacha. For the reason they did that Malacha in the Mishkan, way back then. That's the reason why you have to do that Malacha. But if you do the malacha for a different reason, that's called the malacha shein etzricha legufa. I'll give you an illustration. I'll give you the Gemara's illustration. Okay? When you dig a ol, my sixth grade Rebbe who never spoke any English, when we were learning, when we were learning a bor, baba kama, I am thinking about a ol. Okay? Somebody dug a pit. Now why do you dig a pit? In Hilchos Shabbos conception. What's the purpose of digging a pit? To put the seed in. It's the malach of Choresh. Plow. That's the purpose of Choresh. So the Gemara illustrates this principle. Chofer Guma I don't need this pit at all. I'm not planting anything. But I want the dirt. So I engaged in the malacha of what? Digging, of harisha, plowing. But I have no need for the hole. I want to use the dirt. Here is another machlokes, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's chayav midoraita. Chayav. Malacha shein suicha gud is chayav midoraita. Rabbi Shimon holds, it's pater aval asur. Pater aval asur. So again, the definition. You do the malacha, you know darn well you're doing the malacha, you know darn well you're doing the malacha, but I don't need it, I'm doing it for a different purpose. Says Tosfos, our case of psik reshe de lo nichalei is really a malacha shein suicha legufa. What happened in this case of psik reshe? You claimed you didn't know you were doing the malacha. I didn't intend to do the malacha. But it's guaranteed to happen. So if it's guaranteed to happen, what do we assume? What do we expect you to know if it's guaranteed to happen? You should have assumed it's going to happen. It's guaranteed. But I don't need the malacha. I am doing it for a different purpose. For a different purpose. So that's what's happening here. I ate the berries. When I ate the berries, what melacha automatically took place? What melacha automatically took place? I repaired the hadas. Because when I took off this berry, what happened? There were more leaves than berries. So I did it. I should have anticipated it. Because it's guaranteed to happen. But that's not why I took the berry off. I, in order to violate the law of mitakein, what do you have to do the cutting of the berries for? For what purpose? To be mitakein? To fix it. To repair the hadas. Here I did not intend to repair the hadas. I intended to eat it. So therefore, willy-nilly, what really happened is that this situation falls under the category of another leniency of Rabbi Shimon. What leniency of that Rabbi Shimon is called? It's called Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa is, I'll give you another example. So pardon the Gemara. Mapis Mursa B'Shabbos. Somebody has a pus pimple. Okay? And he wants to squeeze the pus out. Now, the malacha that you might be involved in is making a pesach, making a doorway. What do you want to do? You want to get the pus out and the air in. But if you claim I don't need the air, all I want to do is get what? The pus. That's not why people open up a doorway just to take something out. You don't create a doorway with a nice door just to take something out. You want to take something out, you can bash the whole wall down and just take it out. A doorway you make because you want to take something in and take something out. Here my intention is not to take, to put something in, just to take something out. That's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. I did the exact same thing as making the doorway. But it's not for the purpose that has been specified at the time of the Mishkan. At the time of the Mishkan, making the doorway is lehotzi ulehachmis. Very nice. Says Rabbi Shimon, it's asam ederabana. So how did all of a sudden Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon say, you're allowed to cut the berries? It should be at least what? Asur ederabana. Says Tysus, Bimkai mitzvah la gazu barabana. Bimkai mitzvah la gazu barabana. Since what? Since this is for, ultimately, even if you don't need this hadas, can this hadas be used by somebody else? Yes. This hadas could be used by another person. Since the hadas could be used by somebody else, I'm allowed to lichat chila, eat the berries, When even though it will necessarily, because it's a malacha, she'ena tzricha l'gufa. I don't need it. You're right, I don't need it. So therefore it's not tzricha l'gufa. If I would need it, it would be us in the daraisa. But I don't need it. Yes. No, this is a psik reshe below nichole, is what Tosfos defines as what?
Because
he doesn't care about the malacha. He's doing the malacha for a different purpose. I know what you're sensitive to, that really, psik reshe below nichole and also is the exact same thing. There's a long Aruch HaShulchan, 5 pages long. In his commentary on Simon Kufman Bezi discusses, and he quotes 20th, finally quotes the answer of Rav Avraham, the Noshal Rambam, to get, it's actually hair-splitting differences. But that's how Tosfos operates. A third answer... That's why it's She'ena Tzorach L'Gufa. Because I don't need this Hoshana. Therefore, for me, when I ate it, it's not Magufa. I am doing it for eating. Even though I know darn well I'm being respecting the Hoshana.
He didn't have a different Hoshana.
What?
I didn't have a different
Hoshana. Then it's...
I eat, but if my intention was still not for the seat of Mada, it shouldn't make a difference to Christ's health. Yeah.
Good phrase. Good point. Excellent point. That's the weakness of Tosfos. The Gemara didn't have to answer the question of Chanach. Correct. 100%. The third opinion is the famous opinion of the Aruch, quoted all over Tosfos. The sheet of the Aruch is that there is a dip, that Psik Resha de Lo Nichole is not Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa. It's not Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa. Sikresha below Nichole is Mutta Lechatzila, because that's what I hold. Sikresha below Nichole is Mutta. Whenever you engage in an activity which you did not intend to do the malacha, and it's guaranteed to happen, but you don't need the results, says the Aruch, such an activity is Mutta Lechatzila. When is a psik reshe asur? Only when it's nichole. Only when I am pleased with the results. But if I am not pleased or don't care about the results, that, says the Aruch, is a psik reshe to lo nichole, and that's automatically mutter. Automatically mutter.
Question.
Yes.
According to the Aruch, if you open the refrigerator where you know the light's going to turn on?
100%. If what? If what?
You didn't want it? You definitely didn't want it.
No, tell me what's the... Tell me... No, the light's on in the kitchen. Do I need the light going on the refrigerator to see what I'm taking out?
No.
If it's dark in the kitchen, don't tell me it's lo nichole. Because when you take out this bottle... It's the wrong thing. Oh my God, I gotta go back. You're delighted the light's on. But if the light is on in the kitchen, under those circumstances, that's a perfect illustration. I only intended to open up the refrigerator. I didn't intend to turn the light on. But you have to be an airhead to realize it's gonna turn on, because the light's there. So you can't open it up. You can't open it, because the light's going on. The answer is, I know it's going on. But I don't care if it's going on, because I have more than adequate light in my kitchen. So the Aruch says that such a thing is Mutta L'Chatzila. And that's how he explains this Gemara. What happened in this case? I ate the berries, and by eating the berries, what happened? I was mitachin the kli. Not like Rashi says that's not called tikkun kli. Of course it's tikkun kli. Why am I allowed to do it l'chatchila? Because I have another husband. So I don't care that this one became repaired. You are permitted l'chatchila to engage in such an activity when you do not need the benefit of the malacha that took place.
What about the shirt?
What about the shirt?
Well, afterwards you have another shirt, you will have
to. According to the Aruch, 100%. But you're going to have to explain something else. Why did you take it off? See, in order to get started, you have to get started with something. I intended to do A, but what happened? B took place automatically. What? So when you're opening up a refrigerator door, I know what I'm opening up a refrigerator door. Here, I was eating the berry. But when you have a tag on a shirt, what other intention could there have been besides repairing the shirt? What? You need to, okay. If this guy needs the tag, yeah, if you can concoct such a case, that's what it would be. Now, I will give you cases, very simple cases. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that the halach is against the Aruch. Shulchan Aruch passes like Tosfos. That sick ratios of Lonichalai is like a malachas shein esricha legufa, which is pasur al-Ofsu. And that the only time you allow it is b'mkayim mitzvah. That's it. But on the ordinary circumstances, it's 100% asur midrabbana.
So if you want to wipe the wine bottle from the refrigerator to make kiddush.
Yeah, if you want to wipe, maybe places would say, then it's okay. Okay, maybe. Right? Maybe.
Or yantif definitely.
What?
Or yantif definitely.
Why?
Well, you have to get into your refrigerator to eat.
Well, you have to get in a shop.
Yeah, but...
Okay. Right. But there is a way of claiming that Tosfos holds Psik Resh Lainichalei is Asur Midrabanan without even coming to us to saying that it's a Malach Shesuich HaLegufa and Vimkayim Mitzvah like Gazur Barabanan. That's this Tosfos. Most other Tosfos just say the Aruch is wrong. He's right that it's not asur midoraisa, but it's still asur midrabbana, and there are no exceptions to it. So there are so many applications of this particular halacha. I'll tell you what happened with a case that I had. When I got married, so my wife used to use hot water on Shabbos when she was a kid. She asked, use hot water. I asked her, look, can you use the hot water on your Shabbos? He said, well, based on the Shulchan Aruch, absolutely not. What happens? You have a tank in your basement. If you live in an apartment house, what happens? There's a huge, huge tank. And when you turn on your hot water in apartment 6B on the fifth floor, nothing might yet happen in the tank downstairs. The tank is so big that it doesn't necessarily trigger the pilot to get turned on. It doesn't necessarily. And therefore, in an apartment, it's probably double shenim miskaven. Maybe it's triggered, maybe not. In your own private house, every single time you turn on the what? The hot water, cold water is coming into the tank, and that cold water is being boiled up. So you can say, I don't need that boiled hot water on Shabbos. Why? Because my tank holds 50 gallons. For Shabbos, 50 gallons for me is enough. You don't take showers, you don't take baths. So 50 gallons to wash your hands, wash some dishes, is more than adequate. So I don't care about the extra 10 gallons that will be boiled up on Shabbos. I don't care. So if you simply have a reading in the Shulchan Aruch who says, this might be a case of psik reshe delo nichalei. But my intention is to use hot water, to open up the faucet. I didn't intend to boil water. But you know it's going to happen. Because if you know what happens when you open up the water, cold water comes into the tank and gets boiled up. But I don't need it. So it's a psik reshe delo nichalei. So the Rav said, it's a Shulchan Aruch. Told me to go home and read the first Rav Chaim in Hilchos Shabbos. Rav Chaim, the Rav's grandfather, the first entry of Rav Chaim in Hilchos Shabbos is 2.5 pages long, where Rav Chaim goes on to prove that the Rambam agrees with the Aruch that sick ratio of Nikolai is mutter lechatni. That the Rambam believes that. Not just the Aruch, who is one of the minority Balei HaTosfos. The Rambam believes it. So once the Rambam believes it, the Rav said, grandfather felt secure in paskening against the Shulchan Aruch. He said you can use, rely on the Rambam lechatchila. So therefore he said, if you want to use the hot water on Shabbos, be my guest. Because it's predicated upon this principle. Namely, that if you do something which your intention is not to do the malacha, it will definitely happen. But I don't need it. Under those circumstances, it's the principle of psik resha v'loi nichalei. Rab Chaim believed that the Rambam was the Moru the Shmaitza, that it's 100% mutter. Under those circumstances, it's 100, that's what he said. Under those circumstances, it's mutter. But? No, the Ramah writes. That we paskin like Tosfos. Ramah says, I don't remember what the Mechaber says. Maybe even the Mechaber. Maybe even the Mechaber says that the Halacha is like Tosfos. Yeah. No, that's correct. Now, there is also another difference whether you operate through the angle of Dabishen and Miskavin and Sikreshe versus Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Whether this whole discussion has any other application besides Hilchos Shabbos. Besides Hilchos Shabbos. So I'll give you an illustration, not related to Hilchos Shabbos. Here is the case. Mokrei Tzus, Mokrei Kedarfa, famous Gemara. You are a clothing salesman. Okay? The way you used to market your clothing is you used to put it on for them. You didn't have a bummy, right? You used to market it. You wore it. You showed how it looked. You had a garment that was made out of chatnez, linen and wool. You're planning to sell it to a Gentile, not to a Jew. Question is, can you model it for them? Now, are you allowed to wear a garment of chatnez? The answer is absolutely not. But here, my intention is not to wear it. It's not to derive the benefit from wearing the garment. Why do you wear a coat? Because you're cold and it warms you up. That's not why I'm wearing this coat. I'm only wearing it based on what? That it happens to be, because I'm modeling and I want to make a sale. So the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Dov Shein and Miskavin applies to Chol HaTorah Kula. Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is a Hilchos Shabbos halacha. So according to Tosfos, that you're operating in our Gemara through Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, it's limited only to Hilchos Shabbos. According to the Aruch, and then the Rav and the Rambam, who says that it's based on Dov Shein and Miskavin, Psik Reishe, Psik Reishe L'Nichalei, it's going to be applied to Kol HaTorah Kula, not just Hilchos Shabbos, because Dover Shein Miskavin is a halacha b'chol HaTorah Kula. B'chol HaTorah Kula. So that's the fundamental machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos as to what's happening in this particular case. I want to show you now another machloikis, which I was shocked that they were talking about this issue. But the Mordechai quotes a machloikis between Rabbeinu Avigdor and the Riva. Right here on this subject. Very interesting machloikis. Very interesting. Yeah. This is the Mordechai ben Hillel, student of the Maharam in Rutenberg. And it's entry on the third parak, the page that you're looking at, the entry is where it says it's about where it says Luluf HaGazel, about 10 lines, 8 lines after that, Daf Lamed Beis, Imiyatin Kasher. If you reduce the number of berries in order to what? To increase the number of leaves, so the Mishnah said it's kosher. You're not supposed to do so. You're not supposed to cut the berries. But if you did so, it's kosher. Kosav HaRabenu Avigdor Kohen. This is entry Tafshin Mem Zayin, number 547 of the Mordechai. The Masechta Sukkah. Kishechol Hoshana Rabba Lios Be'echad B'Shabbos. When Hoshana Rabba came out on a Sunday, V'kitzitzo Akum Arava B'Shabbos, and Gentiles cut the Aravot that we're going to use for Hoshana Rabba and Shul on Shabbos. V'hevio, and the Gentiles brought them to Shul on Sunday. K'sheira. You could use them, despite the fact that the guy cut them on Shabbos. V'lo amrinan mitzvah haba ba'aveva. And we do not say that you will fulfill the mitzvah of Hoshanis having violated the law of cutting the branches on Shabbos. How does he know this? He proves it from our Gemara. This nan, the Tanan we learned in the Mishnah, im miatan kosher. If you reduced the number of berries on Yom Tov, the Hadas is kosher. Umairi, and it's talking about afilu b'mezid. Even if you deliberately plucked the berries in order to be makshir what? The Hadas. Midisnan avar v'loktan. Upirish riva de mesakein gamurhu mashin nitakno le mitzvah the isura de oraisa heve. When you pluck the berries, you are fixing this hadas. And what I told you at the beginning of the shir, that it's only fixing midrabanan, that's a bunch of nonsense, says the riva. It's an isur midda oraisa. You are biblically violating the law by reducing the number of berries and increasing thereby the number of leaves to make this a kosher hadas. Velo mifso mishum mitzvah haba b'aveira. And nonetheless, you're allowed to use this hadas on yontif. And we will not disqualify it based on what? Mitzvah haba b'aveira. That's what the Rabbeinu Avigdor says. So listen. He's asking about the following case. A Gentile went ahead and cut haravos for Hoshana Rabbah on Shabbos. Hoshana Rabbah was on Sunday. The Gabayim forgot to, whatever it is, Goyim did. Question was, can we, Jew boys, use the Hadassim, which a guy cut on Shabbos, will that be a problem of Mitzvah B'Aveira? Answer, no. How do I know it's not a problem of Mitzvah B'Aveira? Based on the fact that in this particular case, if you cut the berries deliberately in order to be machshir the hadas, you are allowed to use the hadas. End of Rabbeinu Avigdor. What do you make of this Rabbeinu Avigdor, Rabbi? What questions? Let's invite him in, Rabbeinu Avigdor. What do you want to ask the Rabbeinu Avigdor? First, what questions do you want to ask?
What kind of errors in the first place?
In which case?
When they cut it off, when the guy cut the...
Kosher. Oh! Okay, good. So, right, first we'll answer the question. Let's assume Mitzvah Haba B'Aveira would be a problem. Let's assume it would be a problem. In this case, it shouldn't be a problem. Why? I didn't do the Aveira. The guy did. So what did I violate? Amir al-Nakhli. Amir al-Nakhli.
Zoom. You should ask the non-Jews to do it.
What?
Could be the non-Jews to do it.
Okay, well let's assume even ask them to do it.
Yeah.
So now, what he's thinking of, that if not for our Gemara, listen to what he would have said, it's not for our Gemara. You are not allowed to use these Arabos on Hashanah Rabbah because a guy cut them on Shabbos. And that would be mitzvah habar b'aveira for me. Since when, if you do an aveira, can't I fulfill, I can't do a mitzvah with something that you did an aveira for? You can't do a mitzvah. For you, it's a mitzvah b'aveira. I didn't do any aveiras. And secondly, since when is Amira l'Nachri? Are we going to apply the principle of mitzvah habava aveira to what? To the Isra Amir l'Nachri. Very strange. Extremely strange. Strange. But apparently, he's willing to do it. Apparently, he's willing to do it. That even if... So, number one, from this willingness to apply mitzvah habavavera, you see, number one, that the Rabbeinu Avigdor agreed with the Rambam against Rashi about the nature of mitzvah the nature of Amir Lanach. There is a fundamental machloikis between Rashi and the Rambam. Why are you not allowed to ask a Gentile to do something for you on Shabbos? Rashi claims it's a violation of Vidaber Dovar. Your talk on Shabbos should be different than your talk during the week. During the week, you can ask a Gentile, your employee or something, to do something for you. Shabbos, you don't ask Gentiles to do any malacha for you. So the issur is, it's type of conversation which is inappropriate to be done on Shabbos. According to Rashi, if you ask the guy on Tuesday to do something for you on Shabbos, it's 100% mutter. Why? I didn't say anything on Shabbos. I asked him on Tuesday. I told the guy on Tuesday, come to my house and turn on the lights. According to Rashi, it's 100% mutter. Because when it's done on Shabbos, it's a violation of Vidaber Davar. Your dibur, shaloti dibur chabach Shabbos, ki dibur chabachol. But if you tell him on Tuesday, you're allowed to say anything you want on a Tuesday. The Rambam is of the opinion that that's not the nature of the Isur. The nature of the Isur is that midday Rabbanan, when a Gentile does a malacha for you, it's as if you did it. According to Torah law, what's the only way for you to be a Mechal Shabbos? When you do the malacha. The rabbis say, if a malacha is done for you, it's as if you did it on Shabbos. Therefore, according to the Rambam, asking a guy on a Tuesday to do a malacha for you on Shabbos is 100% awesome. Because when the guy will turn on the light on Shabbos, mid the Rabbanan, it's as if you turned on the light on Shabbos. The mere fact that the Rabbeinu Avigdor wants to apply the Isur of Amira L'Nachri and apply Mitzvah above Avera, in this particular case, what do you see the Rabbeinu Avigdor holds is the nature of the Isur of Amira L'Nachri. And he agrees with the Rabbi. That when the guy cuts it on Shabbos, mid the Rabbanan, it's treated as if you cut the Hashanahs on Shabbos. So if you cut Hashanahs on Shabbos, now there's a good question, can you use them on Sunday? Because you gain facility of this Hadas through Chil Shabbos, that might be a mitzvah b'aveira, as we discussed at the beginning of Lulav HaGazel, where the Aveira triggers the mitzvah. In this case, the Aveira triggered the mitzvah. Had you not cut them on Shabbos, you would not have had them for Sunday. It could be, you can use the word shlichus, yes. You could use the word shlichus. Correct. Correct. There's no Isafim. 100% there's no Isafim. It's all non-Isafim. Correct. And there is another difference between Rashi and the Rambam. When you hint. According to Rashi, where the nature of the Isur on Shabbos is telling the guy to do something. The telling is what's awesome. So you're not allowed to tell him, you can't tell him, turn on the light. But when you tell him, oh, you know, it's dark in here. And he figures out himself, according to Rashi, that's 100% mutter. According to the Rambam, it's 100% asur. Why is it 100% asur? Because the dibur is not what is important. The asur, the isur is that a Gentile did a malacha for me. And when a Gentile does a malacha for me, midrabbanan, it's as if I turned it on Shabbos itself. So, this Rabbeinu Avigdor seems to be willing to employ the Rambam standard and is willing to apply mitzvah haba ba'avera even when you didn't actually do the avera. And the only reason why I don't disqualify those Hoshanis is based on the fact that our Gemara says avar v'laktan is kasher. That you're not supposed to reduce the berries of the hadas. But if I did reduce the berries, it is kasher. Ah, you violated the Isur mitakein, and the report said it was mitakein mid-de-o-raisa, not just mid-de-rabanan. Must be that mitzvah b'aver doesn't apply. Because if it would apply, you undoubtedly would not be able to use these Hoshanis on Yontif, because you were mechalo Yontif by reducing the berries and increasing the number of leaves. All right? Stop here, Rabotai.